into the word of the Lord, I'm going to go to John chapter 4 and verse 10 through 15. On this Pentecost Sunday, amen. I always look forward to church, obviously, and I think as a child, I look forward to it, but usually for different reasons. And I'd get there, and then I'd be looking forward to the end. You know, that was just me as a kid. I wanted to hurry up and meet with my friends. But as a pastor, I look forward to this point right here, just because at this point, my sermon has not been anything good or bad. So this is the best place. Now, in a few minutes, I'd like to go back to the beginning, and I may start over. Who knows? But this is the best moment right here. It's the clean slate. John 4 and verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. With not much information on the water, she just knew, Lord, if I can drink it and not be thirsty, I'll never come to draw again. Then we know that this story, I read to you just the ending of it, but we probably are pretty much familiar with him going into the town, sitting by the well, sending the disciples into the town to buy food. He knew why he was there. He was there for that woman. He knew what hour she would come because he had told them, I need to go through Samaria. We got to go there. And there he was talking to a woman who had confessed to him that, I'm not married. And he said, no, you're right. You're not. You have been 5 times. And this man you have here, you didn't marry him. He knows all things. And when she became exposed, then he said, but I know what you need. You need a well of water within you, not something you go to draw. I want to talk about today rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Let us pray. Father, I ask you sincerely today, God, that, Lord, you would bless my mind and our lips, God, that we speak your word and bless our hearts as we receive the word. Lord, I pray that your will would be done and help us today to glean. Lord, to be changed. And Lord, the thirst that is here today, I pray that it would result in someone coming down here today and finding that this well is here. It is alive and it is living water for them today. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In reading about the story and the timing of it all, there's plenty of commentary to read about it. This woman came at a time of the day that not many would normally come out for water. She came in the hot part, midday. And perhaps it was so that she would not have to associate with others, because we know that she had associated with many and might have had a history, perhaps the entanglements of all of her dealings and her relationships. She may have not been well spoken of in the town. We don't know that. But for some reason, she came out at a time when the Lord knew she would be there and I would be able to talk to her. He was waiting for her there. Think about that. Jesus was waiting for her to come to that place. Same Father today. He waits for us to come to that point where he can speak to us. He waits for us. He knew what made her thirsty, and he knew that she was never going to be satisfied with her water, because her water was bitter, and she had changed courses, and she had messed up, and even admitted, you know, I'm not married, which opened the door to truth, because we have to come to him truthfully. Amen. We have to come to him on that level ground. And she could not grasp how He could place a fountain in her soul. In other words, this enticement that he gave her was so far-fetched that all she could say was, well, if you've got that water, you give it to me. Give me that water, because if it's water that I can drink and never thirst again, I'd like to have that water. Because I don't like coming out here to the well and drawing water at the well. Could it be the well? Could it be the sun? Or could it be that she didn't like mixing with those that came to the well? I don't know. We don't know. But he explains it a little bit differently down the road some. If you go a few chapters later in John 7. And on this day in verse 37, it said it was the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast. And let me pause and set this up. I've read different commentaries agree that probably what was happening here was a ceremony that wasn't scriptural. And that's not unusual. People like to add ceremony to things and make it more special. And we sometimes adapt the ceremony more than we do the meaning. And they said this was at a time when the priest, the high priest, would go up the steps to the temple. And as he went up the steps, he would pour water, and that water would flow down the steps. And oh, that was so pretty. The water glistened and it made the steps shiny. And people were waiting, and perhaps that was a highlight of this day, this holiest day that he was there. And as it begins to happen, and I think it would be wonderful if that's when their eyes were transfixed on the glistening water flowing down the steps. And perhaps some of them were saying, I'd like to drink that water right now. It's a hot day. But in that day, that last day, he cried out saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Directing all the attention away from the ceremony to the Savior. If you're thirsty, everyone here, come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture, now he's going Old Testament here because New Testament was being written. If you believe on me as the scriptures, you know what scriptures are, but the problem with the scriptures is they had been twisted and diluted by the scribes. When you read about who the scribes were, these were men who held themselves in such high authority that they said, hold on there with your Bible knowledge, we'll interpret it for you. We're going to read it, but then we're going to interpret it for you. And that's why they laid heavy burdens on people, and they changed the law, and they created doctrines that were not biblical, but it was because the scribe said it was that way. Therefore, they said, well, that must is what we must do. And when Jesus came to walk among them, he cursed those scribes and the Pharisees for taking the way of truth and diluting it and causing it to be turned around and only to glorify men, but never to give them a pathway to God. So here he was turning it on its head and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Not just water in a pitcher that you dipped out of the spring, but out of your innermost being, there is going to flow rivers, not just a stream, not just a brook, but rivers of water that brings life to you. Rivers of living water. Water. Oh, I love John's writings, really more than any other. I love John's writings because John adds verse 39 in parentheses, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because he had not yet been glorified. What he's saying, in case you didn't read between the lines, the living water he's talking about, he makes it very clear. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. He said he's being very clear. He stood up and said, if you're thirsty, what you people need is the Holy Ghost. And if you get the Holy Ghost, it'll be a river of living water springing up out of your soul if you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes we just have to put it together as plain as it really is. And say, that's what Jesus was saying. But he realized that it wasn't going to help them then. It would help them later. But he was speaking the words because he wasn't going to be on that property when the Spirit was poured out that we read about in Acts chapter 2. But he's setting it all up here. Think about this. Rivers, plural. Rivers of living water. You know, John wrote more about the Holy Spirit than any of the other gospel writers. And here is really the third time that he's written close together in your Bible. He started out in John 3. And a man of Pharisee came to Jesus at night named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, and said, Master, we know you're a man that come from God, for nobody can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he paused right there and just like, we don't know. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you know, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. And then later he said, unless you're born again, you can't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. Right. What are you talking about? Do we enter the second time in the mother's womb and be born? No, no, no. And Jesus began to tell him, there's a sound. There's a sound. Wind blows where it listens. You hear the sound thereof. Explaining to him. And our religious culture has taken that wonderful conversation about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we can't understand, as much as we cannot understand where the wind comes from and how it blows. We don't know when and where and how that the Holy Ghost is poured out. We know God gives it, though. And in that wonderful story, the only thing our religious culture gleans from that is, for God so loved the world, and he did. John 3:16 made it out alive. And those other scriptures are kind of shoved to the side. Well, you know, we'll deal with those later, but we need to concentrate on that one, because that John 3:16 is a great word, but it is not the plan of salvation. Amen. Well, you take all the others above it, and he's not just going to come up and say, hey, here's the way it is. God so loved the world. What? Wait a minute. That's the end of what? That's the end of a great conversation about living water. And then he goes there to John 4, as I read to you about the woman by the well. And then, of course, John 7. John wrote more about, and many of the other writings and conversations Jesus had, chapter 13, 14, and so on, long conversations. Only John wrote them in such detail, where the Lord speaking of himself as I'm with you, but this part you're seeing, I've got to go, but I'll be back, but I'm going to dwell in you. He made it very clear. John understood completely the divinity of Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit that dwells in us, and I'm thankful about that today. But to the woman at the well, let's go back to that well, and there Jesus spoke of an internal well of water. And in this scene, it's believed there that he waited, of course, until that priest poured his water out, and Jesus said, hey, let's look at that. But when he gets to the well, when he gets to chapter 4 there, when he's talking to a woman that's sitting there by the well, oh God, I'm so thankful today that we can hold, that we can behold you in different measures. When Jesus stood and he said on that great day of the feast, he was talking to a crowd, but when he got there by a well, there was a woman that was so thirsty, and there he said, I want to sit down and talk to that woman by myself. I don't need a crowd. Y'all can go into the city. I've got somebody one-on-one. I want you to understand, don't ever walk into a church like this and say, what do I matter to this church? What have they got to do with me? My world and my life is so upside down. Understand this right now, child of God, that he will stop the world for you. He will stop a service for you. You are in the center of his attention right now. Oh, this woman didn't understand who she was talking to, but as it began to dawn on her, she began to understand. He's telling me more about something that flows than just something I can get out of a bucket. He says, yes, ma'am, this water, when you get it, you're not going to thirst anymore. This is what you've been needing, but you won't thirst anymore. So he tells the woman, whoever drinks this water, you're going to be set if you'll just take a drink of it. See, this is the greatest issue with good intentions. What will good intentions get you? Well, it'll make for good conversation. I've got a note on my phone. Somebody texted me many years ago. Well, you're not many. Texting wasn't there in many years ago, but it was some time back. And they gave me a list of what they were going to do. I'm getting things right, this, and told me in detail. I thanked them for that, and I kept it because I wanted to pray for them and see them come to that place they had designed and they had detailed on their note. But they never showed up. They never went beyond a text. Substance was missing. Intentions, but no substance. I think we've all at some point suffered from, we got intentions, but we didn't have the thrust. Things got in the way. Priorities changed. This woman had been coming to this well probably for years. You know, we all have wells that we visit daily, not literally, but figuratively we have our wells that we go to. It's required. But Jesus was talking about a longing in her soul. She didn't get it right away. She's thinking water. And he's going beyond water. He's going beyond the scars in your life and the problems you've dealt with, the gnawing hunger that you have. And I think she began to get a little bit of what he was saying. The gnawing emptiness that could not be satiated by any man or change of circumstances. It's the thirst that returns. See, we can get temporary relief from almost anything, but thirst comes back again. Have you ever been on a hike or a bike ride? So before you left the house, you took you a big old bottle of water like that. That'll do me. I've done that. That'll do me. I'm good. Forgetting that it's been a while since I've broke into a jog or a sweat. Forgetting what can happen to your mouth when all your moisture goes to cool your body. It's only 96 degrees. How did I not know that? In just moments, I'd give anything for some water. And now, whether I'm just walking around the block, I usually got the bigger one of these, this big brother, in my pocket of my sweatpants. Sweatpants, just being the term of the pants, doesn't mean I'm going to go sweat in them. But they hold a bottle of water in the pocket, I can tell you that. It's the thirst that returns. Whether that is a drug abuser, an alcoholic, a gambler, the cheater, porn addict, the thirst returns. That's the problem. Good intentions, statements of faith. From now on. I was a little boy, 9 or 10, when Ike walked in the back door of our church, and it would click when it shut. We had a bunch of sisters that would sit over here, not a bunch, just a little group of them, but they all, I guess because they've done this for years, they all were okay with turning all around and looking to see who walked in the church. It's great for visitors. Come in late, you're going to have all these heads staring at you, and they'd just, a couple of them would just turn around in their seats, and I would just get a kick out of it. And to me, that was my entertainment. The visitor coming in was theirs, so it was all worked out good for everybody. We all were happy. And Ike walked in, and he come down to the front, and right there, come down to the front, and he got prayed for. Like, I see the neck of a bottle coming out of his pocket. And he told the pastor, as Brother Combs prayed for him, he goes, "I just want to tell you, next time them doors are open, I'm going to be in here. I'm never, ever going to miss church. Every time them doors are open, you're going to see me here." And he looked around as if to tell the gallery and everybody, "I'm going to be here." I was 9 or 10. But I remember being just a teeny bit skeptical because I saw the bottle still in his back pocket. And he turned and walked out the door for our final time to see him. And I always remembered that. It was one of those points, you know, in your life, a simple story, but you remember it because of what was said. And I would always think, how many others are like Ike? How many other people that make statements might be a little like Ike? The problem is we've all been there before. We've all written checks that our heart could not cash. We didn't have the gravity or the ability to follow through. And I think this affects all of us, and it could affect us at any time. And on a Pentecost Sunday, I want to tell you today what the real simple answer to this is. If you're here today and you fit into one of these categories, and you know many of the others, you know, I have an issue, I've got problems, and I have good intentions, but I seem to go right back to the sin again. I want to tell you something else. I didn't understand this when I was younger. People can receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name, and that does not guard you from going back into sin. You're not chained up in a closet where you cannot do the things that your flesh desires. Matter of fact, you can go right back into it the next day, and the enemy loves it because then he'll hang it over your head and say, "You're a loser. You can't match what those people are." When every one of us know this, we've had to repent of things that we are glad nobody else knows about. We have gone back and back again and again and stood up here and cried and wept, thankful to God that our minds wasn't displaying on a screen what we're repenting about. Thank the Lord we got private lives, but we've all been there. We've been down that road before and had to repent again and again and again and again. And walked in and shook a hand and couldn't hardly look somebody in the face because we feel ashamed. I want to tell you something. It's the race is not to the swiftest. It's not to the shining one. It's not the one that wins, the one that's the fast runner, but it's an endurance. This is a race of endurance. He that endures to the end. I'm not giving you a license to go out and get back involved in that sin, but I'm telling you, don't let the devil beat you up and don't let your conscience beat you up and tell you you're no good, because what God is looking for is that you might finally buy into a process where that river begins to flow in your spirit and something occurs to where you're not going to be tempted to go back there again and again. But the Lord wants to fix us today and create something in us that's stronger than just an emotional high, something that we cannot get back over. I'm preaching from the Word today. I'm staying right in the Word. And anywhere I go, it's going to be based on the Word of God. I will give that to you right now. It's that thirst that returns. Lord God, help us today to know what to do. God has given us His Spirit to counter the onslaught of sin in our world today. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Very simple. We've heard this before. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some go ahead and forsake assembling. I don't mix well with people. I don't like. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got to get together. That's important for our survival. Amen. I survive because you're here. You survive because you're here and because I'm here. We need each other to survive. We need each other to survive. Do not forsake the assembling. Well, we are spiritual and we like to have church in our home. Baloney. Them kind of people, they don't get anywhere. They're the kind that can't be pastored by anybody. And so they try to pastor themselves and they have nobody leading them. Thank God we've got somebody leading and we've got the Holy Ghost that is leading us. But you got to have a pastor. If I'm not the one, go get you a good pastor, because you can't make it without a pastor. That's in the Word. You can't make it without a pastor. Help us, Lord, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. The day's approaching, church. The day's approaching. Exhort one another. What does that mean? Warn each other. Encourage each other. You can do this. I've been where you are. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. Come on, I'll pray with you. Exhorting one another. Get the Word of God in your heart. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. I want to tell you what we need to do today is create a river within. I've got to have it in here. I've got to have a river inside. Why? Because without the river flowing, I become dead to the things of God. Without a river, I just survive out. Just on a sip here and there. Feel good on Sunday after church. Feel great. But about Tuesday, I'm back doing things or thinking things, imagining things that I have to repent of. I couldn't make it to Wednesday. Why? Well, my river just isn't flowing that direction. And I've got issues, problems. See, the writer is saying that we must consider and provoke each other to good works, not forsaking the assembling of this that is here today even. And once here, we must, in this place, open our minds and hearts to exhortation. Exhortation just means to be taught, to be preached to receive words of encouragement. This means to encourage each other. The reason the Scripture is important is because it lays out a simple first step, very simple first step. We must develop a system. This is a crux of my message right here. We must, in our minds, in our lives, develop a system of victories where one affects the other. One victory affects trickling down and affects. We've got to have that. This is literally life or death. Life or death. This is life or death. Some of you are going to recognize something today. You're going to hear these words and you're going to say, I see myself. I've been there. You may be there, struggling constantly, but never really gaining any traction. I don't feel the flow. The people around me seem to be really getting it. And I don't get it. The reason this Scripture is important, because it lays this step out for us today. We've got to have these victories in our life. Think about this. I was thinking about the Mississippi River when I was working on this weekend. The mighty Mississippi. It's not beautiful, at least when you cross over in the Louisiana part. A lot of silt and mud it's been bringing for miles and miles through several states. From the Missouri River, and then it's the Mississippi. And Mississippi didn't get there by itself. It didn't just get there by the Missouri. And the Missouri River didn't get there by itself. It didn't just be like, boom, river. But if you go and look at the river and what it's feeding from, I'm not going to get all, you know, ecology and all that stuff with you here today. I'm just going to, we all know this. But a river has got to have some creeks and some streams. A river has to have some rivulets, little brooks. When Elijah the prophet told King Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it is, the Lord sent him to Brook Kereth, and he went to Kereth. You know why? Because the Lord was going to show him, I want you to see that the rain has stopped. And he goes to the brook, and he waited there, and the Lord fed him with ravens twice a day. But the most important thing was he watched the brook dry up. And when the brook dried up, he understood. Because, see, I don't know where it's raining and where it's not raining. But because that brook dried up, the stream from the mountain, there was no rain. There's no melting snow. The brook dried up. Elijah, now it's time to go to Zarephath. And you're going to be with a widow whose food supply is also drying up, by the way. But I'll sustain you there. You'll be all right. So, if it weren't for the brooks, the little things, if it wasn't for the little things, if it wasn't for the multitude of small parts to make the whole, you wouldn't have a Mississippi River. My wife and I were talking the other day. She was telling me about the cruise ships that when they go outside the Mississippi River into the Gulf, they have to drop their anchors just so that they don't get out of control because of the force. So I just looked online today just to see how big is the force? Where does it go? They said the water is not salt water, of course. It comes from the many other rivers and streams and all of those other things. And it goes with such a force out into the Florida Gulf that it curls around the Keys, around the end of Florida, and some of that water that's not salty is not even completely salt water until it gets near Georgia, around to Georgia. That's the force of a river that is made up of many small tributaries, streams, if you would. Think about next time you see a stream. Growing up, boys, they love water. Streams, creeks. Bacon on a string, you got crawdads. First thing I ever learned to fish and catch, crawdads. They'd grab that bacon, pull it up, take them off, throw them back. Maybe catch the same one. I didn't care, just catching something. It's just in you. It didn't take much. As a matter of fact, the muddy creek was the best place to find them. We could reach and grab them, but it's more fun to let them grab the bacon, which shows you, bacon's just good. Your personal river will be much the same. It will be made up of the accumulation of many streams in your life. Many streams in your life. Every spirit-filled life, if you don't have prayer, let me just start and tell you, you're going to have trouble. If you don't have a prayer life, then what you have done is said, all these streams that God has got ready for me, I can't have any streams flowing. You can listen to the Bible on audio all you want to, but if you don't have a time when you audibly talk to God and you get alone with Him and you let Him touch you and you touch Him and let Him affect your life, then you're blocking everything else that God needs to do. I'm telling you, you cannot live for God unless you have a prayer life. You got to get alone with Him and you've got to talk to Him, and it has to be systematic. Without prayer, many diseases are going to come. I'm talking about spiritual maladies that's going to come into your life, and you're not going to see clearly clear which way to go if you don't take time to pray to God. But if we pray and we say, my Father in heaven, holy is your name, thy kingdom come, let your will be done. He goes, yes, I'm going to go ahead and do my will, because I can work through somebody who's dedicated their time and their life to me. So get ready. You've unloaded. You've let loose a stream in your life, and it may seem so small, but it's those little things that God begins to bless that's going to eventually turn into your river. God, we need a river. Lord, we need a river. We need you to take away the confusion of why, when I pray, things don't happen. Why, when I have these needs, you didn't do anything. It seems my neighbors seem to do fine. Lord, where are you in my life? Because you don't have any streams flowing in your life. You got to have one on the left and on the right. God needs to unload streams in your mind, in your spirit, so you can have the power and the glory of God everywhere you look. But prayer is the key. Amen. Prayer is the key. Everybody say, prayer is the key. I'm so glad you agree with me. That's important. That's important. The stream of the Word of God, both heard and read, is so very important. You need the Word. Get it on your phone. Get it on your iPad. Open the old-fashioned paper version if that's what you like. But you got to have prayer and you got to have the Word, because what the prayer is going to do is it's going to cause you to understand the Word. If you have prayer, it'll lead you in the Word. And whenever you get the Word, you got now the Word and prayer. And that is two very important streams in your life. And we all need the stream of godly fellowship in our life. You cannot be a hermit in the church and think you're going to be fulfilled, but you need them and they need you. We need each other, and you need that stream flowing in your life. What happens if you don't have the stream of fellowship? Great question. I'm going to tell you what happens is you walk in and you think everybody's against you. They looked at you funny. They didn't shake your hand. They walked past you. You don't really, they may not know your name unless you spent some time with them. Just wear a name tag if you need to, but fellowship with people. Others. Don't fellowship with the same people. Get out of your comfort zone. This is a stream that we've got to have in the church. Amen. Because if it's not flowing, it means you just got one or two people you're with. That's not flowing. That's going to be stagnant. Germs. You don't want something stagnant. It's got to be flowing. Streams. You need a word from a friend, but you need another word from another person in your life, and then a word from somebody else. See, sometimes you go to a doctor and the doctor says, you know, I really have to send you to a specialist. I don't argue with that. My wife had a sinus thing one time and she goes to the specialist. I realized when we left why he cost $140 for every 2 minutes or something like that. $400-something for a half hour. He just talked and talked and talked and talked, but not about her issue. He just liked to talk. And I thought, this is why we were an hour and 15 minutes late getting in here. He talks to everybody a long time. When we left, I said, you don't need a specialist. We're just going to have to pray, because that didn't answer any questions. Not every specialist is all that special, by the way. That's the only one I can think of that just really blew our minds. Sometimes you got to go see somebody for another opinion. Let me get off that. This could just get bogged down. Lord, give us fellowship in every way we need it. In the name of Jesus, amen. There's a stream of healing in relationships. We need the stream of victory over that one nagging hang-up that always gets you down. God, give us victory over that one thing. How? Through prayer. I need to pull a stream into my life and get victory over that. What do I do? Get prayed for it. Ask two or three friends. I need you to help me pray for something. I need a stream in my life. I need a stream working. So whenever that stream begins to flow, it's going to join up with the other streams. And oh, you're getting there. You're getting there. You're starting to get something rushing through your life. You've got streams all over because you've unplugged some arteries. You've unplugged some things. And now the glory and grace of God is starting to move you a little bit. And next time you come into the house of God, you start feeling something, because you're going to identify with that presence of God. And it's the same thing as the streams that are now opened up in your life. Amen. Because you're putting forth an effort to say, be in this area of my life. Lord, be in this area of my life. We need God. We need God to give us healing over past hurts and failures. Anybody got one of those? Yeah. If you got a failure, if you got a past hurt, you need to say, God, give me healing over that. I don't mean just go up one time in prayer and say, Lord, here it is. I found this to be true. The things that I pray about one day and forget the next weren't really that great of a problem. Honestly, if I can't remember it the next day, and it's something I know God does, He waits until we get on it for a while. You know, if it's a great problem, I know He can move a stone. I know He can say, you know, Lazarus, come forth. I know He can do that. But I don't have His faith. I don't have His power and authority. So He's having to work through this human element. And so oftentimes, our greatest issues, we got to go to God. We got to go back again and again and again and again. And build a memorial. All right. A memorial prayer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lord, help us today to build memorial prayers and not give up. Because we need that stream flowing in our life. I have prayed about things in my life, saints, that during the process of the prayer, God did more good to me than the removal of the problem. He left the problem there because it became the counterbalance of my life. And I was able to keep my balance because He put something on the other end of the scale. And I was able to live for God. Later, I looked back and thought, Lord, if it wasn't for the problem. Oh, sometimes we need the problem. Sometimes the burden is what's healing you. Because of that burden, I've drugged that burden over into my prayer closet. I've drugged it over there and said, oh, God, I need You to come through. I need You, God. And it's the relationship that I'm building with Him. That's what He was looking for in the first place. And He saved me. That's a great study when you look in His Word and you see counterbalances that God places in our life. Anybody ever prayed for healing over anger towards those who've hurt you? You need to put that river. You need to start a stream. God, give me a healing. Lord, I want to start a stream over just my temperament, God, that I can be upright before You. Help me, God, that I can control my moods. I need that stream. I got to pray for God. Blessings from faithful giving. Dear Lord, help us today that we can be faithful in our giving. Because that will create a roadblock in your faith. Next time you raise those hands, you're going to look at a God, and He's going to look back at you, and you're going to go, oh no, He remembers. Don't let that be a clogged up artery, but we need to build that stream. Financial miracles. You know, God requires our time, treasure, and our talent. But at the same time, there are these big things that come. Needs that are heavy. And we got to pray a little harder. We got to pray a little harder. God, we really, really need You right now. We really need You right now. And He can come through. He can come through and roll the stone away. He's a burden bearer. The Word becomes life, and it becomes alive. And you become a witness for Him. Because you've got streams flowing everywhere. Oh, God. When you've got the streams flowing, that's the river of living water. That is the river of living water. Fasting that draws you into deep places in the Spirit and breaks strongholds. Fasting that allows you to be sensitive to the call of God and what He's trying to do through you. That's a stream that we've got to unclog. That's a stream that we need. We've got to fast when we pray. All of these examples become the streams that flow into your life to create rivers that give life where there used to be just death. Without these streams, your spirit life will only be sustained by occasional fellowship each Sunday service. But I don't want to settle for that, God. I need You to touch me, Lord, and give me blessings today. We have joy in suffering because we have another investment that's gaining value. We have a river of living water. And when life gets us down, we know we're down, but we also know we live by a river. And when you live by a river, you've got a way out. You've got an economy when you live by a river. You've got a scenic view when you live by a river. You just open your eyes and say, I know my Redeemer liveth, amen, and that He shall stand. I know He's alive, and He's got a hold of my life. Because I've got a river flowing in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord right now. Don't settle for just a drink of water when you can have a river. Oh, we need a river, we need a river as we stand. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Paul is writing to his son in the gospel. And he says, Demas, in love with this present world has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Understand, Cretans, Titus, they're okay. They're doing the work of God, but no, Demas left because he fell in love with the present world. You know what happened to Demas? It wasn't sudden. People don't usually suddenly leave God or the church. They lose a stream here, a stream there, and then they're running on fumes. When you're running on fumes, it doesn't take much to turn you back. It doesn't take much to stop you when you're running on fumes. You set yourself up for offense, misunderstandings, disappointments. I've even seen people begin to loathe themselves. That's not godliness. God wants us to be on the top. He wants us to understand who He is. Acts 19, I'll throw this last scripture in there. When the town clerk had quieted the crowd, had a big uprising, because Paul was converting people, and people he was converting weren't buying silver and brass gods. And so they were losing their occupation because he had put a dent in the economy of buying idols. When the clerk had quieted the crowd down, he said, "Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple keeper of the great Artemis and of the sacred stone that fell from the sky?" He said, "We all know. We all know who Artemis is and the great goddess Diana. Who doesn't know that?" I read that and I thought, isn't it sad that he's saying, we all know, but what they all knew was a lie. And he was saying, don't we all know? We can't let this truth interfere with what we all know. See, we get into ruts sometimes. And some of us, if you're like me, we're predisposed to some ruts more than others. The older we get, the more rutified we can be. I guess that's a word. It's easy, it's comfortable, it's predictable. It's all right as long as that rut doesn't block the flow of my river. I need my streams going. I need Pentecostal experience in my life at all times. My prayer and desire today is that we could talk to Him, that we could gather here, if you don't mind. And let's go to the Lord and let's let His rivers begin to flow. Church, this is not just a feel-good sermon, honestly. God laid this on my heart. I want you to search your soul today. And I want you to do an inventory of your life and look around you and examine the streams, because those streams are what makes up the river. And those streams are what is going to affect you this day going forward, whether you're going to rise or fall, whether you're going to live for God successfully and you're going to make a profit, or you're going to have loss. Oh, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus right now, Father, Lord, that You would touch Your church. God, that You would be in our minds, in our spirits right now, Lord, that we could be honest and open before You. Search me and know me, Lord, right now. Search our hearts and know us, God. Search deep within the caverns of our heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. And find, Lord, is there anything that we need to turn over to You? Is there a stream that we need to open up? If you're here today and you've never been baptized, I want you to listen to the voice of the Lord today, as imploring you, you need to be baptized in that name. Oh, you need to be baptized in water in that name. We can do that today. Lord Jesus, I pray that You touch that hungry soul, that one that's dying, Lord, dying for peace they don't feel, peace they've never found. Oh, Lord, I pray they could open up that river in their life in the name of Jesus being put underwater and all their sins be washed away. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, God, I pray hurts, afflictions, attitudes that we need to let go of. Lord, let the river flow. Dear God, let Your river flow in Jesus' name. We've gone back on our word. Lord, I pray You let me open that up, that a stream can begin to flow. talk to him. Jesus, in your name, Lord, in your name.